Hiya and welcome to Intuit, the HuffPost UK entertainment podcast. Joining me, Daniel Welsh, or Rachel McGraw, Ash Percival. And this week we're talking pop star feuds, debating children on reality TV, and reflecting on some of the wildest Britain's Got Talent acts from years gone by. Before we get to all of that business though, I want to talk about Amanda Holden's breasts. More specifically, I want to talk about their prominence in Thursday's BGT semi-finals. So we all know the score by now. Every single year, they have the BGT finals. Amanda and Alicia come out in their very glamorous dresses and people get up in arms about how much cleavage is on display. And this year is no exception. So before the semi-finals started, Amanda said that she was welcoming Ofcom complaints and it sounded like she was going to be disappointed if she didn't get them. And she's in luck because after Thursday's show, more than 200 people, 200 British citizens have already, in counting at the time of recording, complained to Ofcom about Amanda's dress. So let's make no mistake before we get actually chatting about this. It was a very low-cut dress.
Yeah.
Am I right?
It was.
It was. There was a lot of boobage on display. That's a fair comment to make.
Yeah. That's a factual statement.
Thank you. There was quite a lot on show. But as this happens every year, should BGT be making Amanda cover up or should people get a grip?
Amanda Holden should not be covering up for anyone. That's just my first thing to say.
All right.
Amanda is fabulous. Everyone knows how much I love Amanda slash Mandy, as I like to call her.
I wondered how long that would take.
And I'm sorry, but like every woman has got a pair of breasts. Like, what offends people so much about seeing it on someone in a fabulous dress, a fabulous wig, looking bloody great on
a fabulous wig. I mean, that's what's not getting enough praise around here, the wigs.
No, she looked bloody great last night. And I just think people just need to get with it.
Yeah. I mean, that's just it, isn't it? I mean, well, actually, I was going to say, I'm trying to be like, you know, the mediator and be like, but what about this? But actually, I don't even know what the alternative argument is. Like, it's just like, you know, It's boobs, isn't it? It's boobs.
I think it's one of those situations as well where if you see that dress as inappropriate or offensive or like too sexy, I think it's very much like you bringing your own personal. It's more about the person complaining than it is about Amanda. Like, a woman should be able to wear whatever she wants on telly without you assuming that she's trying to like sexualize your children or like alarm all the viewers. I think it's just, it's in the eye of the beholder.
I take more offence from Simon Cowell's bloody low-cut shirts, to be honest, than I do Amanda Holden's low-cut dresses. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Brogan Driscoll of HuffPost UK Lifestyle just commented before we came out that David Walliams had his arse out earlier in the week.
Yeah.
I genuinely wonder how many complaints there were. David Walliams got out his bum in the middle of Britain's Got More Talent to show off like a false tattoo of himself and Simon Cowell. And I wonder who's complained about that. Like, what is the thing is, it's like, I get, oh, I think it's too much, it's inappropriate, da 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 da. But if you then press someone any further, what more have they got to say? Rachel, you just literally just said this. It's like, if it's inappropriate, why is it inappropriate?
Yeah, explain why it's inappropriate. What about the woman's body is inappropriate? Like, it's just stupid. And I think it's all relative as well. Like, you mentioned David Walliams there. But one of the other things I thought of, which I absolutely adore, is Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah.
Where literally, like, I think it's fantastic that the BBC have managed to make this a thing. But at 7:30 at night on a Saturday, people come out in leotards and like the tiniest of costumes and just gyrate all over each
and
other.
And grind on each other.
And this is by no means a complaint. It is one of the best things on television.
Oh, all right.
But
this is by no means a complaint.
But that happens and it's fine. Like, even the acts on Britain's Got Talent, like, you'll see dancers in leotards with their legs out. That's not inappropriate. That's not offensive. So I think the same should apply, really.
I really enjoy Amanda's approach to the whole situation as well.
I was literally just about to say that exactly.
Because she's there just stirring it up. She wants the complaint. She's doing it literally to... Well, I interviewed her earlier this year. Clang.
Clunk.
And she was like, yeah, I want to do it for the dads and I want to do it for Ofcom. And I was just like, you know
See, the start of that is gross, Ash. Like, I'm sorry.
Anything that involves the expression, one for the dads...
That is disgusting.
Probably not to be celebrated.
You had me until that point.
Unless it's some sort of golden oldies, now that's what I call music collection, one for the dads. That's the only thing I think we can get behind. But I do love, it's very defiant. It's quite Madonna-esque, really, her like approach to just getting people pissed off by showing off her body. She obviously doesn't care.
Well, the thing is to get like a bit technical about it as well, but BGT is well aware of how Ofcom works and I'm sure they're well aware of the guidelines. She's clearly not breaking any of them.
Yeah.
Because if she was breaking them, then this would have stopped by now. So someone up there has decided it's fine.
I mean, obviously, this is probably the most revealing dress she's ever worn on BGT, I would say. But it's like, at what, you know, at what point would it be, if she literally came out topless, would that be the end of the world? What would actually happen? It's just boobs, isn't it? It's just boobs.
Well, this is the thing. If you're kind of at home with your kids, speaking as obviously somebody who has none, if your kids are like, oh, what's she wearing, blah, 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 tell them that it's fine and that it's actually okay for a woman to wear whatever she wants.
Yeah.
Like, teach it as a learning experience for your children.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, I agree with Ash. If Simon Cowell's allowed to wear that low-cut little number that he wears every time he comes out. Also, I mean, I'll tell you what as well. Actually, I've just remembered. I can't wait to see what she wears for the final.
Oh. Amanda's final dresses are always just incredible.
See, I would just love it if it was a full-on burlesque outfit with like
with nipple
pasties. Yes, I would be all over that.
Come on, Amanda, if you're listening, do that for us.
Yeah,
get it sorted. Not for the
one for the podcast.
One for the podcast. Never mind the dads.
Oh, that's so gross.
That is. I mean, it's unfortunate that she said that. If I'd known that was going to come up, I would have pulled the debate. We'd be talking about something else. But you know what? Amanda Holden, you do you. Actually, you know what? If you don't look good, I don't even care. I just think, yeah, I'd kind of like it more if she didn't look good and she looked in absolute state.
Where is the logic in that?
Well, I just think it would be even better if she just was, you know, shriveled and came out and was just like, yeah, how would you like this? Do you know
came
what
out
I mean?
In a trackie.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, let's move on from that. Amanda Holden, flawless queen. What a woman. I want to talk to you about Noel Gallagher. We all know that he's not shy about coming out with his opinions about his contemporaries and the young up-and-coming people. In the past, he's come for Taylor Swift. He's come for Adele. He said he didn't want to live in a world where Ed Sheeran sold out Wembley Stadium.
Amen.
I was going to say, actually, yeah. we'll let him off for that third one. But in general, he's very, very critical when he's in interviews and people ask him what he thinks about like the current crop of new talent. And so his latest target is Harry Styles. He released Sign of the Times, his debut single, last month, or was it 2 months ago? Whenever it was, topped the charts. People really like it. Some people think it's a dirge, like myself. But Noel Gallagher has come out and said that it's, and I quote, shite, and that his cat could have written it in 10 minutes. So, obviously, we all love...
That cat wants to get on Britain's Got Talent, is all I can say.
Oh my God, could you imagine a songwriting cat into it? Imagine Amanda Holden in a low-cut dress with a songwriting cat solving mysteries together. I feel like
There's a pun or a title there to be had. I'm not sure what it is, but...
Don't try it.
let's not venture down that avenue. Obviously, we all love a bit of drama, a bit of mudslinging, a bit of shade throwing. But when it comes to established acts like Noel Gallagher, who has the respect and admiration of a lot of people, should we be seeing more support coming from him rather than comments like this, putting like young, arguably talented people down? What do we think?
When was your last number one, Noel? That's all I have to say, really.
Didn't he release like High Flying Birds had a really reasonably charting album?
Reasonably charming.
I don't actually remember off the top of my head. The thing is, I think if you're waiting for support from Noel Gallagher, you're going to be waiting for a really long time. It's part of a caricature. Him and Liam, they're characters. Do you know what I mean? And he knows the deal as well. He comes out with these things all the time. But also, like, the music industry, we had this conversation a lot, but some of the people are a bit bland.
It's true.
And
most, I would say.
I feel like, just as a spectator, I'd rather have a laugh at Noel being deliberately cocky and a bit not very nice about things then listen to him being like, oh, Harry's great. It's just boring. No one's going to remember it, I think.
Well, I definitely agree that it would be boring if everybody was nice to each other all the time. But there is an argument that Harry Styles, you know, this isn't a song that was written by 20 people in a boardroom. This is something, you know, that he says he's poured his heart and soul into. It's like it is his life's work, but he's only about 15 years old, isn't he? So that's not really saying much. But like, you know, it's something he's worked really hard on. Is there an argument that, you know, it's not really great to just have it immediately shot down by somebody with a lot of influence?
Everyone's entitled to opinion, and I don't think anyone is above criticism. Just because you're successful doesn't mean that you shouldn't be criticised if you've done something that's not great. But equally, I kind of feel with like his comments, he's just saying them for effect, really. It's like Rachel says, he's like a bit of a caricature. He's a bit of a gobshite. Like, you kind of expect it from him. Like,
Well, he's obviously been asked as well. At some point for this to happen, someone, it's like that thing where if you sat down for an interview with Noel Gallagher, so many people would just have a list of things and go, okay, what do you think of Britain's Got Talent? What do you think of Harry Styles? What do you think of Kanye West, which is one that's done before? And I think this is the other thing, like, he's got an, someone's done an interview with him and that's been their approach. And then they've picked the juiciest bit.
What I will say is, sorry to interrupt, I would usually agree with you. And in the past, he's literally been asked, what do you think of Taylor Swift? Oh, she's a bad songwriter. What do you think about Adele? I think she's boring. But in this instance, it was actually off his own back. So he was interviewed with Absolute Radio and they said, what do you other people who were your contemporaries? And he literally said, they're all retired. They're all fat and balding and they've got fading tattoos and they're writing shite like the Harry Styles single. Okay. So he actually came out with this himself and then said, you know, his wife was excited about it, but he thought it was rubbish. I just feel there's an argument a little bit, and I'm going to try and tread carefully here because I'm not sure how this is going to come out. But I feel like if this were a woman in her mid-40s and a young up-and-coming female singer, there's this argument constantly about women sticking together and all of this. And I sort of think, obviously, you know, this doesn't involve sexism, but it is still a tough industry to get into, someone like Harry Styles. And fair enough, he's come off something like The X Factor. But it still can't be easy when, you know, he's trying really hard to be taken seriously rather than just a former boy band singer, to have somebody who's already made their millions, already made a name for themselves, being like, oh, he's shit. Let's not bother listening to this song. Because, and he literally, what he said was as well, he said his wife compared it to Prince. And he said, I knew before I'd even listened to it that it wasn't going to sound anything like Prince. And I mean, that's super dismissive, right?
It is.
I mean, don't get us wrong. I do actually think the song is shite, but like I should preface this by saying that it actually isn't a good song. But I'd give it a listen before I made that opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I also just think it's very much one of those things where like Noel has said this one thing and it's kind of dominating the headlines for the day. But how many people have actually supported Harry Styles? Like, I like to think that he's sensible enough that he's not sat at home beating himself up about the fact an ex-Oasis person didn't like his song.
Well, that's true, isn't it? I mean, Harry Styles is very headstrong. Yeah, he's very successful at the minute.
The other thing is, Noel Gallagher's audience and his are so different. Who is going to hear Noel Gallagher say that and then think, oh, you know what, I won't bother then? Like, what type of person is going to do
that? Certainly no one under the age of about 20, 29, 30.
Yeah, like, and even people in their 40s or 50s, like maybe the men who would traditionally listen to Oasis or something, they're not listening to Harry Styles anyway. So it's such a...
But the Harry Styles album has got all these influences from people that these guys you're describing would be listening to. So these people, not that I think they're missing out, because once again, I do think it's a load of crap. But if they like that sort of music, they probably would like the Harry Styles album. And so, you know, it would be nice for somebody in Noel's position rather than like all of Harry's contemporaries.
I'm surprised because I thought they were... I swear I've seen like pictures of them together or like something like I swear they were pals or like there's been
they probably
like comments.
Were. Just Noel Gallagher just says whatever he thinks, which I do think is also, I should add this, is a respectable thing to always be truthful rather than just being nice about your mates.
If you were kind of up and coming, it's almost a bit of a like, at the end of the day, he's been sat in an interview and he's come up with something and the name that's come to his head is Harry Styles. Like, the fact he's even on his radar. Like, the thing is, Noel Gallagher slags people off. That's what he does. It's not like he's going around being really nice about everyone and then has suddenly taken aim at Harry.
Yeah.
I just think it must like, be quite a miserable life being Noel Gallagher, to be honest, with that oh much gosh. Sort of anger inside you.
But it's just a character. He's like Piers Morgan, but nowhere near as dangerous. He just says a few things in interviews, goes home, has a drink, watches the football on telly. I presume. Now that I'm doing his biography.
I think you're describing my life, Rachel. Love that. Football. Should we move on? Because I want to quickly talk to you about Britain's Got Talent once again. Sorry to dominate the podcast with Britain's Got Talent, but it's the final this weekend. And every single year, there's this debate about whether it's appropriate to have children on the show because there's no lower age limit when it comes to Britain's Got Talent. Anybody who reckons they've got some sort of gift can come on. And every year, we'll get talented kids, we'll get all right kids, we'll get kids choirs, all this good stuff. Come out, perform, get that 15 minutes on the telly. So in the final this year, we've got Issy Simpson, the child magician. She's, I think, 8 years old. And you know what? I was very cynical when she came out, but then when she got through, I was actually in tears. Like, I had to cover this for my professional job, and I was quite reluctant to watch the programme. All the way through, I was quite cynical, sort of eye-rolly, side-eye-y. And then in the last 5 minutes, when this kid got through, I was like, oh my goodness, this is the most emotional thing I've ever seen. But that's a different story. What I want to ask you is, especially because The Voice Kids is starting next week, and again, this is conversation about whether we should be putting children in talent competitions. Should we be putting children in talent competitions? Is it appropriate to have children on reality TV? What do you reckon?
Well, I think this series of Britain's Got Talent particularly, I think, has been really strong for child acts. Like, you know, we've had a lot of child singers, we've had a child magician, we've had child dancers. It's been a really, really strong year. And I think the judges have also gone on record and said, like, it's the kids that have dominated this year's series. So I kind of think that, yes, they are as talented as the adults and they deserve their place in that competition. So why shouldn't they be allowed to compete with them? But then kind of the other side of me thinks, well, is this responsible? Are they being exploited? Like,
well, I think, like, I don't think anybody is calling into question the talent of these kids, because it is, you know, it's really brave. Loads of adults wouldn't get up and do what these kids do, and they don't even bat an eyelid about it. But I think what you've just said there about them being exploited, I don't know whether, like, whether they're necessarily being exploited, but it's just, are they ready for the pressure that's been on the show?
I mean, look at the child magician. She, on her on the live shows this week, she got part of her, like, not act wrong, but she kind of stumbled on her words a little bit and got a bit sort of, like, lost.
Well, Alicia Dixon fucked it up for her, didn't
she? She did.
It sounds terrifying. I don't want to see this.
And I can't, like, my heart fell out to her because there was so much pressure on her. There's millions and millions of people watching that show. It's a live studio audience. And I just thought, like, God, that, like, 8 year old, I think she's eight. I was like, I could never have done that at eight. I would have just absolutely crumbled.
And recovered that well.
And just, like, that poor kid, like, she obviously enjoys what she's doing, otherwise she wouldn't be there. But still, it's kind of a lot to deal with, I think. And then when she was waiting for the results to be called out, like, she was in tears,
she was,
like, in anticipation.
Wasn't she? She was speechless. Like, she had her mum on the stage with her. When she found out she'd got through, she couldn't speak. And I know that a lot of adults would be in the same position, but she was absolutely speechless.
See, I think part of the problem is, when I don't really watch Britain's Got Talent, I'm not a massive fan of it, but one of the defining images, I can't even remember the kid's name, I think you'll know it.
Oh.
That kid who, like, froze. Or, like,
Holly
she didn't
Steele,
sing,
I think
she
her
didn't
name
sing,
was.
And then there was that whole kind of big old fuss and they had to throw to the breaks and redo it all. And you look at something like that and it's just horrible. But then I guess, then it's hard because times have obviously changed. And you know what? I think as long as they're getting the support that they need.
Have they changed though? Because, I mean, kids are always kids, aren't they?
Yeah, but I guess the circumstances maybe. Like, I like to think that they obviously know the gravity of what they're doing. They're on telly, loads of people are watching. But you'd like to think that they're getting kind of the right support behind the scenes and that there's not lots of pressure. I think that's kind of where it hinges for me.
If all of that is happening, then fantastic.
Which I think it is to give those shows their due. I think they do offer welfare support, so.
But, I mean, it's not even necessarily being on the show and taking part in the competition. It's what happens next. Because when you think, like, you know, you hear so often about people who've been on reality, and I'm not talking kids, I'm talking, you know, Leon Jackson and Steve Brookstein and all these people. They go on reality shows, they have smoke blown up their arse for 8 months, the album comes out, the first single does well, the second single does okay, third single flops, and then you're dropped. And then you're out on your ear, and after a year and a half of being told how great you are, suddenly nobody thinks you're great and you're a joke. And that's a lot to deal with when you're in, like, your late 20s, early 30s. But when you're a kid and your career is essentially over by the time your GCSEs are even finished, like,
this is one of the reasons why I do love The Voice.
Let's
but
chat
I think
about the, voice.
The Voice kids, so Klunk interviewed Danny Jones yesterday, who's one of the judges. And as he pointed out, he said that when he was a kid, he was doing these sorts of talent shows and things anyway, granted they weren't on telly, but he was doing them. And he was saying that to be kind of like, the kids on there are 7 to 14, to have the chance to get feedback from him, Pixie Lott and will.i.am.
They could keep that feedback, thanks.
He was like, as a kid, the chance to kind of come on, and it is a nice environment. And also the other thing is, they don't let kids come on who are then awful. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, when you get the people on The X Factor and they're absolutely
who
terrible.
Who can't sing.
And they're there for, so all of the kids can kind of sing and they get the chance to get this feedback and they'll say to them, like, you know, rather than it being a no, it's a not right now, go away and come back. And I think that maybe actually that sort of environment where it's like The Voice Kids and it is specifically kind of children, I think the environment might just be a bit
it's
better.
It's a different vibe, isn't it? Because they're not competing with adults.
Yeah, and it's not built, the competition is just built differently. And the other thing with The Voice is, they're not going to have a massive career afterwards anyway.
And also, again, The Voice Kids is probably marketed towards kids. I mean, when's The Voice Kids actually going to be on? Do you know?
It's on Saturday night.
Saturday night show, which I find very odd. I just think, like, your families will probably sit around and watch that together, but me as a 20... I mean, I might not be their target audience, but if they're wanting mass numbers, I'm not going to sit around and watch like a bunch of kid, bratty kids singing.
I think the ship has sailed on The Voice going for mass numbers. So I think right now they're probably just like, let's just put it on and see what happens.
It's hard Woo! Though, because similarly, I would never watch BGT and I would never watch X Factor, but sign me up for Strictly.
Are you going to watch The Voice Kids?
No.
I feel like... Three people who should not be watching The Voice Kids.
But I don't really like children. It's like Ash says, like, I'm not their target audience. But then even for BGT, like, I don't even know if I'm that target audience. Because if I am, then they're doing it wrong, I don't think. None of my friends are watching it.
You're too cynical, Rachel, to
I'm
watch
not.
Britain's
do
Got Talent.
Do your friends watch Britain's Got Talent?
I don't really have any friends.
Yes,
I'm the
do.
Wrong person to ask. No, none of my friends are watching Britain's Got Talent. But again, my friends are really cynical and over it. Because they watched The X Factor for 8 years and then realised that actually we're being shown the same thing over and over. So they just were like, you know what? No, we can just watch old episodes. We don't need to watch any more. Speaking of BGT, shall we end on this week's quiz?
Yes.
Woo!
Ash looks delighted.
As we all know, Britain's Got Talent brings out the weirdest and most wonderful acts every single year. This year has been no exception. We've had some very unusual people coming out to the semi-finals. So what I'm going to do is, in honour of this year's final, which is happening this weekend, I'm going to throw out some vintage BGT acts. All I want you to do is tell me whether or not they are real or whether I've made them up.
Okay.
I mean, I have to lose this, surely.
Well, we'll find out also.
But I equally feel like Britain's Got Talent finalists are very forgettable, so I wouldn't be too confident on me winning, Rachel.
All right, Rachel, since you did such a good job of the quiz while I was away...
She did do a good job of the quiz while you were away.
I really enjoyed that podcast. I was listening to it by the pool in Las Vegas.
Don't rub it in.
A little bit pissed at 12 in the afternoon. It was fabulous. Right, Rachel, I'm going to come to you first. So... The act is Floral High Notes, a married couple who performed an operatic version of Rule Britannia while flower arranging. Are they real or are they fake?
Oh, can I just check it? Can I check
a
detail?
Oh, there's always a check.
Is this, they're just finalists in the live final or are they contestants?
They're semi-final. Look, there's no tricks here. Like,
right, okay.
They're either real or they're not.
So they've made the live shows, basically. Yes.
They were on it at some point.
Yeah.
I think they were real.
They were indeed real, and we can actually hear a clip of Floral High Notes right now.
Beautiful.
That was stunning. Right, Rachel, well done. Ash, I'm going to throw this over to you.
Mm-hmm.
MC Spoonie, a grandfather from South Wales who rapped Pitbull's Give Me Everything while accompanying himself on the spoons. Real or fake?
If that's fake, you've got such a fucking good imagination.
What are you going for?
I'm going to go for fake.
That is fake! you know my sense of humour. No, sadly, MC Spoonie accompanying himself
These
on the
These are some good ideas, though.
Thank you! I had a really inventive morning. So well done, both of you. Rachel, the Boogie Babes, a group of retired women in their 60s and 70s who performed a belly dancing routine to Shakira's Hips Don't Lie and Whenever, Wherever.
Sounds like a group I want to be a part of.
That sounds like a group that you would stand hard for.
I'm going to say real because... I'm going to say real.
I'm afraid... Well, the Boogie Babes were real, but they were actually a group of precocious preteens dancing to McFly's cover of Don't Stop Me Now.
Oh, because I
One of the
I'd
worst
seen...
songs ever released, I might add.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it, I don't think. Not the cover.
Well, I'm surprised, given that you're now best friends with Danny Jones of McFly and
I've
the
I've actually
Voice
heard
Kids.
It millions of times.
Yeah. So I'm afraid no point there.
Okay.
Ash, I'm going to come to you next. Mexican Mayhem, a pair of trained chihuahuas whose tricks included dancing around a sombrero and sipping shots of faux tequila.
I mean, I hate dogs anyway, but that just sounds like my worst nightmare. I'm going to go false.
I'm afraid that that's a culturally appropriate if true. That's a real act that took part in Britain's Got Talent. And what's more, they were shit. I recommend checking it out on YouTube. Neither of the dogs actually did any of the tricks. And then at the end, the trainer did the splits. It was fabulous.
And so, also culturally inappropriate.
And also culturally inappropriate. So I should probably withdraw that fabulous and do an okay at best in its place. Rachel, Stevie Starr, a regurgitator who swallowed a light bulb and Amanda Holden's engagement ring live on air.
I'm going to say that's fake.
That's true.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he swallowed it. Well, I mean, I've got a clip right here.
Anyway, Amanda, watch your ring.
I am so following
your
you
ring
to the toilet.
Your ring is going inside. Say goodbye.
But yeah, she was not happy about handing over that engagement ring.
What, he put it in it, he swallowed it and then
sticked
it back up?
He attached it to a lock, swallowed it, and then sticked
That's
it back up.
That's gross.
That is disgusting.
She has to put that back on her finger.
I bet that didn't get any Ofcom complaints either.
I wonder if we should look it up. Ash, back to you. Kay Orasanya, human trumpeter who performed a rousing rendition of When the Saints Go Marching In using just his mouth and no trumpet.
I'm going to go false.
That is correct. So Kay Orasanya did
you
exist.
You made up a name. Oh, okay.
No, that exists. But he was actually a human saxophonist who performed Michael Jackson's Heal the World. Let's take a listen. What a racket. Rachel, to stay in the competition here, Rope and Glory, a rock trio who performed Meatloaf's Real Dead Ringer for Love while walking a tightrope.
Fake.
That is correct. I completely made that up. Ash, to win the game. The Seesaw Brothers, a pair of Brighton-based twins who juggled chainsaws.
Oh my God. I mean, that does sound like something that would be on Britain's Got Talent.
I don't know how, this has really enlightened me to how does anyone watch this show?
I'm going to go true.
It's actually fake. There have never been juggled chainsaws on Britain's Got Talent. So I'm just going to read this one out, and first one to shout out the correct answer wins the game. The Barrow Boys, a group of West Country farmers who performed a wheelbarrow-based dance routine to Queen's Don't Stop Me Now.
There's a lot of Queen Don't Stop Me Now.
What do we have to do? Just guess?
Yeah.
Real?
Oh. Yeah, well done! Congratulations, Rachel. The Barrow Boys are indeed real. Three very burly West Country farmers who threw around a load of wheelbarrows. I don't know about you, but I'm off to watch that clip again on YouTube for the next hour and a half. So we'll be back next week. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Laters!